Prayed. Now, this is something that the church must be involved in, that a Christian must be involved in. It is not an optional deal. It's a must. And if we're going to see the power of God, that's what we must be involved in our lives. That's where the power is. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Our Father, we thank and praise you for the day and for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus in on your word today. Lord, I pray that if there's folks in this congregation who are thinking about things outside, maybe their jobs or their houses or their farms or something going on in the family, I pray that you'd give them grace today to bring their attention to your word. Lord, I pray that you'd open our spiritual eyes today to see this truth that you have for us. Lord, I pray for the Ball family in their loss. I want to pray for Jim Youngblood this morning and for his family as Jim suffers with this sickness and his family supports him there. And I'm sure that there's folks all over this congregation that have needs. And Lord, you've told us to take those before you. And Lord, you said that in your word that we could cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us do that today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. A man was laying in bed on Sunday morning, and his wife came in and woke him and said, "Get up, it's time to get ready for church." And he said, "I'm not going." She said, "Oh, yes, you're going to go." And he said, "No, I'm not." He said, "No one down there likes me. I don't have any reason to go." He said, "Just give me three reasons why I ought to go to church." She said, "Okay." She said, "The Bible says that you ought to go. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." She said, "You've got three daughters that are depending on you to be the spiritual head of this family and to lead this family spiritually. And because they're counting on you, you ought to go to church." He said, "Okay, give me one more." She said, "You're the pastor of the church. You ought to go." I've been thinking about this passage all week long and how I want to be a Barnabas. how I want to be a Barnabas. And you're going to see as we get into this message a little more about Barnabas. But that passage ended with the talk about Barnabas, the encourager, the one that came along beside others and encouraged them in the things of the Lord. In human nature, there's always going to be those who take advantage of the hospitality or generosity of others in the church. And I looked at this passage and I thought, well, what about those that would take advantage of this type of situation where the Holy Spirit has come, God has moved on the church, and people have become generous with the things that they have in their own lives and their time and their money. In 2 Thessalonians, the Word of God addresses that. Look at 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, and look at verse 10, if I can find it. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. Matter of fact, I want to read that. I don't want to just make a stab at it. Should have stayed where I was. 1 Timothy 5, when we talk about the hospitality of the church, and when this is what I think will happen when revival takes over the heart of individuals and it takes over the church, that this will happen. And so in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3, here the scripture says, honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. So he's making the qualifications of who to help as far as a widow indeed is concerned. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into number under 80 years old. So no one under 60, he says, having been the wife of one man. He makes very clear qualifications for the widow indeed. Well reported of for good works. There's another qualification. If she has brought up children, there's another qualification. If she has lodged strangers, another qualification. If she has washed the saints' feet, another qualification. If she has relieved the afflicted, another qualification. If she has diligently followed every good work. He lays out who to take care of and who not to take care of. And to me, it's clear how that is to take place. When revival comes, people like Barnabas come out of the woodwork. When the other disciples were afraid of Paul It was Barnabas that went and got him and brought him to the disciples. When John Mark wasn't steady, you remember that story? When John Mark wasn't steady, it was Barnabas that took him with him when Paul wanted nothing to do with him. Well, there's times when all of us need a Barnabas in our life, an encourager in our life. But our desire should not be so much that God just keeps sending us a Barnabas, but that we ourselves become the Barnabas, that we become Barnabas, that we are the encourager in other people's lives. Now, I want us to see three things that when revival comes to the church. Now, I want you to understand, I'll make a disclaimer here. I want you to understand that I do not believe that all that happened in the book of Acts in these early chapters was that they had a revival. I know better than that. I know that it was the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was a change in the dispensation of time. Everything changed. The Holy Spirit became, as Rex would say, the man of the hour. He came and he dwelt in the hearts of the people like he had never done before. And there was an exuberance in the life of the people. There was this great movement of God in the church like that had never happened before. But revival simulates that in some ways. It is similar in some ways. And so I want us to look at that in thinking about that if revival comes to us personally, if revival comes to our church personally, that there'll be a lot of things that happen in the early days of the book of Acts that will also happen in our own lives. And it's all good. It's all good. Now, we talked last week about the persecution that might come. I believe that in this last week we've seen history made before our very eyes, and I don't believe that it had to do with anything but God's people praying. That folks had decided we're going to have to pray. And I believe that it's not time to stop, but it's time to start. That it's time to continue in our dependence upon God and God's movement in our life and in our country. There's three things that I want us to see in this passage that I think will take place if revival comes to our church and to our life. Number one, I think there's going to be a boldness like we have never seen in our own life. I think that you and I, if we experience revival in our life, that you and I will experience boldness like we've never experienced before. And what that is, if I had a glass here that I could give you an illustration, you see it, don't you? I mean, you can imagine that with me. If I had a glass in this hand, an empty glass, and in this hand I had a pitcher of water, and this pitcher of water represented the Holy Spirit, and I began to pour that pitcher of water into that glass until that glass was full and overrunning, until it began to spill out on the edges and run out in the floor. And if I just kept pouring it, it would just spill everywhere. And if I moved around, I'd get to shaking it out on people. And I think that we would have a boldness in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit like you and I have never experienced. Not something bad, something good that gives us a power like we've not experienced before. Secondly, We're going to look at the power to be able to be a witness. I think that will happen in our lives as the Holy Spirit of God works in our lives. And you could say, man, I'm not cut out like that. That's just not something that I do. It is just not something that I do. I don't talk to people easy. Have you ever noticed when you're around other people and they have grandchildren, how easy it is to get them to talk about their grandkids? And if you say very much, they'll get their phone out and begin to show you pictures of their little ugly grandchildren. No, of their grandchildren, excuse me. If you've ever shown me a picture on your phone, don't think I think that. You know why that is? Because that's what they think about. That's on their mind. That's their life. When the Spirit of God grabs hold of our heart, it's what we think about. It's our life. It is what energizes us. We want to tell people about Jesus. And when folks ask about what's going on in our life, we tell them that Jesus is what is going on in our life. And then there's this great grace. And I don't want to preach all my sermon before I get to my sermon. But great grace, now you know the definition of grace as unmerited favor. You do not deserve it. And I don't deserve it. And that is a great definition. But let me give you one other definition of grace that says grace gives you the power to do that you would not normally be able to do. That's grace. You don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. But when God is working in our life, He gives us the power to do that we would not normally be able to do. It's supernatural power. It's revival power. It's what all of us need in our life. It's what every Christian needs in their life. Verse 31, back in our passage in Acts 4. They spake the word of God with boldness. Their boldness was in the word of God, not in their own opinion. Now there's a whole lot of difference here. I mean, I'm opinionated. I've got opinions about things. But this is not our own opinion. It's a boldness in the Word of God. Their boldness was supernatural. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to notice something else about this verse. When God shows up, He shakes things up. The place was shaken. Isaiah 6 and verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. There was a shaking going on. In Acts 16 and verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. When God shows up, He shakes things up. It is not ho-hum. It is not church as usual. It's supernatural church, which most of us are not accustomed to. I'm not accustomed to God working in such a powerful, powerful way. I've seen some of it. But I think that this continues to happen. Number two, they had the power to witness in verse 33. Now, what is a witness anyway? What does that mean? When we talk about they had the power to witness, what is a witness? Now, I've said this over and over. I don't know if you remember it or not. But evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread at. Now, if we were having court and they call me as a witness, And the judge said, okay, tell us what you know. And I'd say, well, Matt told me. He'd say, wait a minute. Are you going by hearsay? I mean, you didn't see this. You didn't witness this yourself. You're going by hearsay? Well, yeah, but I can trust Matt. No, we're not going to use you. You're going by what someone else saw. This is a witness. This is eyewitness. This is that it's happened to me, Brother Chuck. It's what Jesus has done in my life. If I just tell folks what happened in my wife's life, I'm about to get it out. That's not a witness. That's her testimony. What about my own testimony? What about what Jesus has done in my life? See, that's what the witness is. It's the power to witness what Jesus has done in our own life. Man, we forget, don't we? Don't we run out of soap real quick about what Jesus has done in our life? My goodness. What's the matter with us? When Jesus has done this work in our life and we keep quiet about it? Well, this happened to me. Well, where are you at now? What are you doing now for the kingdom? You mean you got over that? You got over what Jesus did in your life? And so now it doesn't really mean anything to you? You're back in your circle. You're back on your merry-go-round. You're going to go back to your comfort zone and stay in here where there's everything is comfortable. Got people that smell like you and look like you and act like you around you so that nothing has changed in your life. And God's worked this miracle in your life. He's done this great work in your life. And you're going to keep it to yourself. Well, when revival comes in our life, that changes everything. They had the power to witness. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. This word power here comes from the original word dunamis. It's miraculous power. We get our word dynamite from that. Now we're used to dynamite power, aren't we? I mean, we're used to explosives. We know what it's like to load a gun and cock the thing back and let her rip and shoot. But can you imagine not ever seeing that before? It would be pretty supernatural, wouldn't it? I mean, I don't know what would be supernatural now. I don't know what would be. I mean, we've seen so much stuff. I don't know what would look supernatural, something new supernatural to us now. But this power is supernatural power. And see, the power is a miracle in itself. They had this power because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 and verse 8, look at that. We know about that, don't we? We've talked about it. And you shall receive power. Here's the promise. And you shall receive power, dynamite power, nitroglycerin power, supernatural power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. He didn't leave anything out, did he? He said, in that area around you, to your family. How's that? To your family. And then that place where you live, your community. And then that place that you would not go. Wonder why he said Samaria. When the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritan. And how is it you being a Jew, a man, speak to a woman who is a Samaritan, where the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And here he said, you're going to have power to speak to people that you would not normally go to. And then he says, the whole world, the uttermost parts of the world. Uttermost parts of the world. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine. And you know what wine or alcohol does to the individual? They would say things that they wouldn't normally say. They would act differently than what they would normally act. They go places they might not normally go in the wrong way. But this is talking about the right way. Being controlled in the right kind of way. My speech being controlled. My actions being controlled. My inhibitions being controlled. Me being under control because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. And he didn't say if you feel like it or if you want to. If you'll look close at it, you're going to discover it's a command. It's a command not to be filled with wine. It is a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not optional. The church is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The individual Christian is to be filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that it controls your life and my life. Number three, great grace was upon them all, verse 33. Grace gives us the power. Now listen to me closely. Grace gives us the power and willingness to do that which you could not normally do under your own strength. An example? How you deal with other people. Got any plow cleaners in here? That's pretty natural, isn't it? When someone gets under our hide, when someone gets next to us and rubs us, we call it rubbing us. He just rubbed me the wrong way. So I set him straight. That's the way it goes, right? Not filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you how to set people straight. Tell them about Jesus. That's the straight. If we do something, it might be crooked. If we tell them about Jesus, that's the straight. It's how we deal with other people. Verse 32. And we're getting ready to bring it to a close. But man, we've got down to the nitty gritty. I mean, we are where the rubber meets the road right now in this passage. We're at that place that we want to close the doors and say, okay, let's go to the house because I don't want to hear the rest of this. I don't want to be a part of that because I have these things that are precious to me and they remain precious. My wife and I are getting ready for a move. She's getting a lot more ready than I am. And she's packing up stuff. And I talked to her this morning about that. I said, now, it just seems to me like that you're keeping your stuff and throwing my stuff away. And I get Rod Custom Magazine and catalogs of all kinds of car stuff. And for years, I got the Western Horseman. I just kept all that. And she said, what are you going to do with all that? And I said, somebody would be interested in that. She said, nobody be interested in that stuff. See, we have this stuff that's precious to us. That we don't want to open the door and say, "Here, Lord, this is yours. It's not mine. I'm going to turn my hand loose and give it to you. I'm going to quit hanging on to that that's mine, that I call mine. And I'm going to give it into your hands." They were all of one heart and of one soul. They had all things common. And the scripture goes ahead and defines that. It says that if somebody had a need, they all met it. They met it. They met that need. They all did. Now, you'd say, "Now that doesn't ring true. People hang on to their stuff." You see, this was what people don't normally do. It was supernatural. People don't normally turn loose of their stuff. People don't normally give of themselves to other people. It's a supernatural work in our lives that God does in the midst of revival. Verse 34, and I'll close with this. "And they laid them down at the apostles' feet." Did you ever see that? "And they laid them down at the apostles' feet." "And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." And then these Barnabases begin to show up. One in particular that made history and made the Bible. This Barnabas, this encourager. I got a feeling Barnabas wasn't the only encourager. I think there was lots of encouragers. And I think that in a revival in a church where the church catches on fire by the Holy Spirit of God, that there's going to be lots of encouragers in the church. There's going to be some advantage takers that the church will have to identify and deal with that. But there's going to be Barnabases. Now, which one do you want to be? Really, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the advantage taker? Or do you want to be the Barnabas? I want to be the Barnabas. Don't you? Well, sure you do. You want to be the Barnabas. You want to be the encourager. The encourager. So, if I've not been a Barnabas before, how do I become a Barnabas now? If I've not been a Barnabas before, how do I become a Barnabas now? You remember the empty glass? You remember the pitcher that represented the Holy Spirit? I just open myself up to the Holy Spirit and let Him fill me and say, "God, I'm yours. I don't have the apostles here for me to lay myself at their feet, but I lay myself at your feet, Lord, and I give you all that I am and all I possess to be yours." Let's stand together. If you're here today and not a Christian yet, Brother Matt's going to come and our musicians will come, and you have not yet asked Jesus into your heart as personal Savior, we want to give you an invitation to come and do that today.